All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome again to Submerged Church. So glad to be here with all of you. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul Letvin. I'm one of two pastors here at Submerged Church. And the last time I shared, I did a message about an ancient treasure called the Daily Office. Of course, that was officialized by St. Benedict in the late 400s, and you know where he paused 8 times a day. Of course, what we talked about, encouraging stopping at least 2 times a day, just to be still before the Lord, to sit in His presence. And remember, it's not about us. It's not about searching within us. It's about simply being with Jesus. A lot of times that we talk at God, we talk to God, we ask Him this, ask Him that, and this is about simply just being with Jesus and listening for His voice. When we practice that daily office, oftentimes you meditate on a piece of scripture, something like that. And that's something that has blessed me immensely over the last 8 weeks. I'm still a little anxious about things. Those of you who know me, I can get uptight. I'm a perfectionist. I'm very driven. But practicing the daily office, I've noticed, at least internally, I feel much less hurried. Things just don't bother me as much. I'm not as anxious about things because I've been spending time allowing Jesus to slow me down, abiding in Jesus as He commands us in John 15 to abide in Him. How do you abide in Him? Can you abide in Him when you're always on the go? We can even read our Bibles, spend 15 minutes doing it, and then not even remember what we read and just move on our day. You know, it takes a lot of time to stop and slow down and abide in Jesus. So that's what we talked about last time, is the daily office. Today, I'm going to share on another ancient treasure that our family has been now practicing for about 6 months, called Sabbath, and how to keep it. Now, I want you just to look at that photograph I picked out. I realize it's no longer fall, but I picked that photo for a reason. Fall is one of my favorite times of year, and if you look at that, that photo is inviting you to stop, to rest, to delight in what's going on, and to contemplate. Just imagine yourself walking into that photo right now, sitting on that bench, closing your eyes, and just enjoying the fall movement. And then you look, and then you open your eyes, and you see these beautiful colors, and you thank God for His creativity, and you just rest and enjoy. I mean, so this is, that's kind of a little, just a tiny little glimpse of what the Sabbath could be like. You know, just stopping from what you're doing and just resting to be with God. Now, some of you might be thinking in your heads right now, Pastor, you don't understand. I've got all these jobs, I've got all these kids, etc. I can't afford to stop and take a Sabbath day. I hope by the end of today, you'll at least be somewhat convinced that you can't afford not to if you're going to live a sustainable, emotionally healthy, spiritual life. You can't afford not to stop. And as you can see, today's Sabbath part one. I'll be doing another part, kind of some frequently asked questions, things like that, next week about Sabbath. So we're not going to cover everything today. I mean, one could give a series on Sabbath for 8 plus weeks and still not cover everything. But hopefully today will give you a little bit of a glimpse of what this is all about. So if you just please pray with me. Father, I just pray that You be with each of us right now. Lord, I pray that those who are even right now hardening their hearts in resistance to this message for whatever reason, I don't know why, it's a command, it's a gift to practice Sabbath, but Lord, I pray that everyone here would have soft hearts, that they wouldn't look at Pastor Paul, they wouldn't hear what Pastor Paul says, they would hear what You have to say, Holy Spirit. I pray that our minds would be open. I pray that we would consider, that we would think, that we'd ponder, even search the Scriptures, to see, Lord, what You are telling us. Pray that each of us would walk away with a good treasure today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the big idea, if you remember anything from today, this is the big idea I want you to remember. It's at the bottom of your notes, inside your bulletin. It's in a nice big blue box on the back with the light bulb. Looks exactly like that on the back of your bulletin. You can cut it out, stick it on your fridge, whatever you need to do. Stop, rest, delight, contemplate. That's the big idea for today. Stop, rest, delight, contemplate. A recent yearly study was conducted by the American Psychological Association, the APA, to study stress in our country. Every year, the statistics keep going up all the time. So they look at people who are outside what they call diagnosable mental disorders, which is, I don't know if you guys knew this, which is 27% of our population. Things like anxiety, depression, addictions, etc. Like people that have been diagnosed with these mental disorders. So this study, they took a look at the rest of the population that's outside of the 27%, okay? And then they study stress. And here's what they found. So this is people that have not even been diagnosed with a mental disorder. 47% of people are having trouble sleeping. 46% of people are angry and irritable. Of course, none of us sitting here this morning, right? 45% of us are fatigued. 40% of people lack motivation and energy. 37% of us are feeling depressed and sad. And 33% of us have headaches and want to cry. Many of these people said, I have too much stress to manage my stress. This is most likely the case with many of us in this room. A seminary professor, Dr. Archibald Hart, wrote in his book, The Hidden Link Between Adrenaline and Stress. This is what he says. The lives of most of us are far too hectic and fast-paced. We are driven by a need to succeed and a very distinctive need to prove ourselves. This leaves little room for relaxation or leisure in our hectic lives. It's as if we are trapped on a runaway train and don't know where the brakes are. The engines of our bodies have jammed at full throttle. That's by Dr. Archibald Hart from his book. If this is what our culture has come to, including those of us who claim to be Christians, then why is it that stopping to observe Sabbath is so difficult? Shouldn't we welcome a day that is meant to be a gift, to slow down and recharge and be with the Lord? Shouldn't we welcome that? According to Bob, okay, now this is not Pastor Bob Bartlett. This is a different Bob. Okay, he sent us a nice text message this morning, by the way, some nice waves in Florida. And just, oh, that guy. Yeah, anyway, well, he can have his waves. According to Bob, he's a clinical psychologist with 35 years of experience in counseling troubled leaders. According to him, the answer is simple, why people don't slow down. It's the same case, now listen to this, it's the same case for lawyers, CEOs, marketplace leaders, pastors, and other Christian leaders alike. So Bob says they can't stop. If they stop, they'll die. They're terrified. They're frightened to death of what they'll see inside themselves if they slow down. Something so much deeper is driving them, they just have no idea what it is. So the question is, what is that something? What is that something? What lies behind the resistance and terror for people to consider slowing down for Sabbath? What is it? Well, according to Peter Scazzaro, a pastor and Christian author, after observing and talking with pastors around the world for many years, he believes the answer is shame. That's the answer, shame. That's why people don't slow down. Now listen to this carefully. Shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of being fundamentally flawed, defective, unworthy, and deficient in some vital way as a human being. That's what shame is. So we work harder and then work even harder. And we think to ourselves, maybe if I get over this next hill at work, then I'll feel better about myself and how things are going to step back and relax. But for now, I can't stop. That's what we think. It's important to distinguish shame from guilt. Listen to this carefully. Guilt is about something I do. For example, I ran a red light. It is one mistake I made, not a reflection of my entire person. So you feel guilty for running that red light, okay? Shame, on the other hand, is about who I am, okay? Guilt is what I do. Shame is who I am. So then you say to yourself, I didn't just make a mistake when I ran that red light. I am a mistake. When we fall short, we think things like, I'm such a loser. I'm awful. I'm a fraud. I'm worthless, okay? Shame testifies not to wrongdoing, but to flawed being. Okay? Shame testifies not to wrongdoing, but to flawed being. Now, Sabbath can be terrifying because doing nothing productive leaves us feeling vulnerable. We may feel emotional exposure and even nakedness before God or others. Overworking hides these feelings of inadequacy or worthlessness, not just from others, but also from ourselves. As long as we keep busy, we can outrun that internal voice that says things like this: I am never good enough. I am never safe enough. I am never perfect enough. I am never extraordinary enough. I am never successful enough. Do you recognize that voice? Anybody out here? Do you recognize it? Far too many Christians, including pastors, use workaholism to run from these shaming messages. And I'm definitely among them. Though I like to consider myself moving down the path of a recovering workaholic. For a quick taste assessment on your own tendencies to work too much, consider how many of these qualities might be true of you. Okay, so we're going to take a look at some questions here, and maybe just keep track of how many of these can you say yes to. Do you get more excited about your work than about family or anything else? Do you take work with you to bed, on weekends, on vacation? Is work the activity that you like to do best and talk about most? Do you regularly work more than 40 to 50 hours a week? Have your family or friends given up expecting you on time? Do you take on extra work because you are concerned that it won't otherwise get done? Do you underestimate how long a project will take and then rush to complete it? Do you get impatient with people who have other priorities besides work? Have your long hours hurt your family or other relationships? If you answered yes to even a few of these questions, workaholism may be something you'll need to wrestle with in order to have a Sabbath. If you've been in the habit of overworking for months or years, the need to overwork may actually be hardwired into your body. Let's take a look at that slide. Oh, good. Okay. So it may be hardwired into you. So a consistent pattern of overworking can impact the neurochemistry of your brain. When we are constantly in an intense and demanding environment, our brains release hormones and chemicals to help us meet the challenges that we face. Over time, the body becomes accustomed to these hormones and chemicals to the point that we develop a kind of dependency on them, very much like a crack cocaine addict. Okay? In some cases, business executives in intense environments have actually developed clinical adrenaline addiction. They become adrenaline junkies simply from being in high-stress work situations over and over and over. So for those of you who are in this boat, you may experience a type of physical withdrawal if you decide to take up the challenge of being serious about Sabbath. And that's on top of the emotional and spiritual battle of practicing Sabbath. So that's just a warning right now. So for those of you who are listening to this, for those of you who are receiving this word, you may have a physical withdrawal battle. I've read a number of stories about people, like, they start practicing Sabbath, the first time they try it, they literally get the shakes. They're like, I should be doing something. And it's so difficult for them to not be doing something. They don't know what to do with themselves because they have never stopped to just contemplate. What is Sabbath? What is it? So the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word that means to cease, to stop working. That's what it means. It refers to doing nothing related to work for a 24-hour period each week. It's a time to stop work, enjoy rest, practice delight, and contemplate God. It refers to this unit of time around which we are to orient our entire lives as holy, meaning separate, a cut above the other 6 days. If we take a look at Genesis 2:2-3, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day. Does it say that about the other six? God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, set apart, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Sabbath provides for us now an additional rhythm. So that's on top of doing the daily office like we talked about last time, so that's like these mini Sabbaths, you know, throughout the day where you just stop for a short period of time. So this is another additional rhythm that your body can get into. And by the way, now that I'm used to doing this, I cannot tell you guys, like when Thursday night came, I was thinking to myself, my soul, my spirit, my body, my emotions are so ready for Sabbath. And it was wonderful. I have to tell you guys, this was the busiest week I've had this fall. And I did everything to prepare, so I didn't have to do any work for a 24-hour period starting Friday morning at 7:30. And it was wonderful. My body needed it. My body thanked me for it. My spirit thanked me for it, to take that time to stop from working. And it was wonderful. I think I took a 2-hour nap, right? Oh, my wife's watching the kids. But, you know, a nap. And it's a waste of time, right? It's fantastic. It was wonderful. And I loved it. My body loved it. My soul loved it. So putting this rhythm into our lives for an entire reorientation of our lives around the living God. That's what it is. We're orienting our lives around the living God, not us. On Sabbaths, we imitate God by stopping our work and resting. So the traditional Jewish Sabbath, of course, a lot of you probably know this, it begins at sundown on Friday and ends at sundown on Saturday. In most Christian traditions, Sabbath has been observed on Sunday. For our family, our Sabbath day is Friday. That's my one Sabbath day, and then I try to get a day off on top of that if I can, but it doesn't always happen. The Apostle Paul considered one day for Sabbath as good as another. Let's look at Romans 14, 5 through 6. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So, the particular day of the week doesn't really matter. What matters is to set aside a 24-hour period and protect it. So, keeping the Sabbath in Scripture is a commandment. Right next to, as Pastor Deacon, Deacon Tyler. Now, let me clarify this. You know him. There is a man in our movement whose name is Pastor Deacon. He used to be Deacon, and now he's Pastor Deacon. You guys, Deacon Ailes down in our Evergreen Church. So that's why that came out of my mouth. So Deacon Tyler, as he referenced, you know, this commandment's right next to refraining from lying, murdering, and committing adultery, right? Sabbath is, now listen to this, Sabbath is a gift from God we are invited to receive, on top of being a commandment. It's a gift from God we are invited to receive. So practicing Sabbath, listen carefully, practicing Sabbath will not give us salvation any more than reading our Bibles or praying, only a relationship with Jesus and confessing him as our Lord brings salvation, right? However, Sabbath is meant to be a spiritual formation practice for Christians. If you aren't reading your Bible, you're probably not growing. If you're not praying, you're probably not growing. If you aren't regularly in Christian fellowship on Sunday mornings and other times, you're probably not growing. If you aren't practicing Sabbath, you're probably not growing. If you aren't tithing, you're not trusting God with your money. If you're not practicing Sabbath, you aren't trusting God with your time. Israel lived as slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They never had a day off. They were treated as tools of production to make pyramids. They were doing machines. They worked 7 days a week all year long. Imagine how deeply ingrained activism and overwork must have been for them. For 400 years, they worked every single day, period. Never had a break. They had never observed or experienced a rhythm of work and rest. They had neither permission nor choice to do so. Living meant performing tasks. That was their life, with one day blurring into the next. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he affirmed that they were sacred human beings made in his image. He then showed them how to live according to their God-given nature. In effect, God said, "It may feel awkward at first, but as a fish is created to live in water, I created you to live according to this design," having this rhythm of work and rest. Now listen to this. Some of you probably have never realized this. The longest and most specific of the Ten Commandments, you know what it is? It's the fourth. The longest and most specific of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath. It actually takes up about one-third of the entire words of the Ten Commandments. Hasidic Jews have been known to say that one cannot keep the other nine commandments without first obeying the fourth. You cannot keep the other nine commandments without first obeying the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So let's take a look at the fourth commandment in Exodus, and then we're going to take a look at it again in Deuteronomy. So this is Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor." Work is good. You shall do it. Okay? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Now, he reiterates this and gets a little bit more specific in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you." This is a command. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or your cat, your dog, your goldfish, your chickens, okay? Or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You hear that? That your male and female servants may rest with you as well. Did you know the only people in this time who got a day off were rich males, and that was it. They were the only people that were allowed to rest. Women weren't allowed to stop. Sorry, women. Slaves, they didn't get breaks, okay? So in this command, God is making everybody equal on the Sabbath, okay? Everybody gets a break. Slaves, rich men, poor men, doesn't matter. Women, children, everybody gets the day off. "You shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt." You know what he's saying here? You have got 400 years of the taskmaster Pharaoh in your bones. And I'm going to get to that next time. But this is more than just a command. This is a spiritual battle to do this. They had 400 years of Pharaoh in their bones. Okay, "And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand in an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." This is a big deal to God, people. God worked. We are to work. God rested. We are to rest. After completing his work of creating the heavens and the earth, God rested on the seventh day. It was the climax of God's week in Genesis 1. From the beginning of Genesis all the way through chapter 2, verse 4. And it is to be the climax of ours. The Sabbath calls us to build the doing of nothing into our schedules each week. Nothing measurable is accomplished. By the world standards, it's inefficient, unproductive, and useless. As one theologian stated, to fail to see the value of simply being with God and doing nothing is to miss the heart of Christianity. Just to be with God and do nothing. If you're not doing that, you're missing the heart of Christianity. Sabbath, when lived, is our means as the people of God to bear witness to the way we understand its life, its rhythms, its gift, its meaning, and its ultimate purpose in God. Observing the Sabbath, we affirm, listen, God is the center and source of our lives. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end of our existence. We trust God to provide and care for us. Eugene Peterson points out even that though Sabbath has been one of the most abused and distorted practices of the Christian life, we cannot do without it. This is what he says. Sabbath is not primarily about us or how it benefits us. It is about God and how God forms us. I don't see any way out of it. If we are going to live appropriately in the creation, we must keep the Sabbath. Now, how do we do this? Let's get into this. How do we practice Sabbath? We'll close with this today. So one of the great dangers of faithfully observing Sabbath is legalism. Jesus observed Sabbath, but he also healed the sick and preached sermons on that day, right? So the key is to set a regular rhythm of keeping the Sabbath every 7 days for a 24-hour block of time. Remember, there is a difference between a day off and a biblical Sabbath. There's a difference. A day off may replenish our energies and produce positive results, but there needs to be something more to develop a biblical framework for Sabbath. So here are the four foundational principles of Sabbath. Number one is to stop. Once again, you'll probably figure this out. This is the big idea, but I'm going to elaborate on each of these 4 points briefly here. So stop. Sabbath is first and foremost a day of stopping. To stop is built into the literal meaning of the Hebrew word Sabbath, as we mentioned. Yet most of us can't stop until we're finished with whatever we think it is that we need to do. We need to complete our projects and our term papers, answer our emails, return all phone messages, complete the balancing of our checkbooks, pay our bills, finish cleaning the house, all those things. There's always one more goal to be reached before stopping, isn't there? One Sabbath, by the way, I just recently figured out, I'm never going to finish my to-do list. I just figured that out like a little while ago. it's never going to be done. On Sabbath, I have this illusion thinking like, as soon as I finish my to-do list, then I can sit down and be happy. It's never going to happen. It'll never happen. On Sabbath, we embrace our limits. God is God. He is indispensable. We are his creatures. The world continues working fine when we stop. The core spiritual issue in stopping resolves around trust. Will God take care of us and our concerns if we obey him by stopping and keeping the Sabbath? Now listen to this story. There's a story told of a wagon train of Christians that were traveling on their way from St. Louis to Oregon. They observed the habit of stopping for the Sabbath during the autumn, but as winter approached, the group began to panic in fear that they would never reach their destination before the snows began. So a number of members of the group proposed that they quit the practice of stopping for the Sabbath and travel 7 days a week. This caused an argument in the community until it was finally decided to divide the wagon train into two groups. One group would observe the Sabbath day as before and not travel. The other would press on. Which group arrived in Oregon first? Of course, the ones who kept the Sabbath. Those were the ones who arrived first. Both the people and their horses were so rested by their Sabbath observance that they could travel much more efficiently the other 6 days. We have a campus preacher, Tom Short. I've heard him say, I can get more done in 6 days than I can in 7 days. When you rest, right? When I trust God and obey his commands, he provides. Jesus takes our loaves and fishes that we offer him, even though they are insufficient to feed the multitudes, and somehow, miraculously and invisibly, he multiplies them. We can trust him enough to stop. Number two, rest. Number two, rest. Once we stop, the Sabbath calls us to rest. God rested after his work. We are to do the same. Every seventh day, Genesis 2, 1 through 4. What do we do to replace all we are now stopping during our Sabbath time? The answer is simple. Whatever delights and replenishes you. For me to enjoy Sabbath rest requires I have another day of the week to do the tasks of life that consume my energy or fill me with worry. For example, planning my week, paying bills, balancing our checkbook, cleaning the house, fighting traffic and crowds, the shop, doing loads of laundry, etc. Well, Haley does that most of the time at our house, but sometimes I help. I shovel the driveway. Anyway, But yeah, like this last Thursday, I made sure I responded to emails, I paid my bills, like so that I wouldn't have to do any of that stuff on Friday. I got all that stuff done. Where was I? So we have to do all those things on a different day of the week. Some things to consider resting from are, so here's some things to consider resting from. Work, physical exhaustion. I've now stopped doing excessive workouts on Fridays. I might still do some push-ups or something, but hurriedness, multitasking, competitiveness, worry, decision-making. Don't make big decisions on Sabbath. Wait for another day. It stresses you out. Catching up on errands. Talking, technologies, you could take a break from cell phones, TV, computers, social media, any have-tos. Like, set it up so there's like, I have to get this. Get all that done before Sabbath so you don't have to do that on that day. When we stop and rest, we respect our humanity and the image of God in us. We are not nonstop human beings. Sadly, now listen to this, it often takes a physical illness such as cancer, heart attack, the flu, severe depression to get us to rest. We don't serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath serves us. And next time, too, I'm going to share how the nation of Israel paid dearly for not taking their Sabbath. God got the Sabbath out of them one way or another. We'll talk about that next week. Delight, that's the third point. Delight. A third component revolves around delighting in what we have been given. So God, after finishing his work of creation, proclaimed that it was very good, right? In Genesis 1:31, God delighted over his creation. The Hebrew phrase communicates a sense of joy, completion, wonder, and even play. This is particularly radical in a culture like ours because both secular and Christian were delight deficient, okay? Because of the way pleasure and delight have been so distorted by our culture, many of us as Christians struggle with receiving joy and pleasure. On Sabbath, we are called to enjoy and delight in creation and its gifts. We are to slow down and pay attention to our food, smelling and tasting its riches. We're to take time to see the beauty of a tree, a leaf, a flower, the sky that's been created with great care by our God. He has given us the ability to see, hear, taste, smell, touch, that we might feast with our senses on the miraculousness of life. As William Blake wrote, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wildflower. I'll never forget the first time I took pleasure in taking a warm shower at home on a Sabbath. So I slowly let the water fall on me, cleansing me, and I just enjoyed the fresh cleanness of putting on shampoo, conditioner, body wash. It was a delight, and I relished in that present moment and tasted the Sabbath gift. God reminded me in that moment, Paul, as clean as you feel right now, that's how I look at you all the time. You've been washed clean of your sin. You've been washed clean of your filth. So that's something that happened to me when I was just delighting in everything that Sabbath day. Finally, Sabbath delight, it invites us to healthy play. The word chosen by the Greek fathers for the perfect mutual indwelling of the Trinity was perichoresis. Okay? It literally means dancing around. Creation and life are, in a sense, God's gift of a playground to us, whether it be through sports, dance, games, looking at old family photographs, or even visiting museums. Nurturing our sense of pure fun in God is also a part of Sabbath. Proverbs 8 talks about God just delighting as he created the universe. Okay? And lastly, number four, to contemplate. Number four, contemplate. So the final quality of a biblical Sabbath is, of course, the contemplation of God. The Sabbath is always holy to the Lord. Okay? Exodus 31:15. So pondering the love of God remains the central focus of our Sabbaths. Throughout Jewish and Christian history, Sabbath has included worship with God's people, like we're here today, where we feast on his presence, the reading and the study of Scripture, and silence. For this reason, Saturdays, if your tradition gathers on that day, or Sundays for us here, remain the ideal time for Sabbath keeping whenever possible. Every Sabbath also serves as a taste of his glorious, eternal party of music, food and beauty that awaits us in heaven when we see him face to face, Revelation 22:4. So on every Sabbath, we experience a sampling of something greater that awaits us. Our short earthly lives are put in perspective as we look forward to the day when God's kingdom will come in all its fullness, and we will enter an eternal Sabbath feast in God's perfect presence. Amen? Amen. We will taste his splendor, greatness, beauty, excellence, and glory far beyond anything we've ever experienced or dreamed. So as with stopping, resting, and delighting, we will need to prepare in advance how to do this. Is it any wonder that the Jewish people traditionally had a day of preparation for Sabbath? There was food to buy, clothes to wash for the children, final preparations to be made. What will it mean to prepare yourself for worship to receive the word of God? What time do you need to go to bed the night before? Did any of you think about that? Like, man, I need to get myself in the right mindset so I'm ready to receive the word of God at church tomorrow. Okay? When might you have times of silence and solitude or prayer during the Sabbath day? And then what final items do you need to resolve so that you can have that uncluttered Sabbath? So, in closing, Sabbath is like receiving a gift of heavy snow every week. It's a snow day, okay? Stores are closed, roads are impassable. Suddenly, you have the gift of a day to do whatever you want. Sabbath, okay, so it's a snow day. Do whatever. You don't have any obligations, pressures, or responsibilities. You have permission to play, be with friends, take a nap, read a good book. Few of us would give ourselves a no-obligation day very often. But God gives you one every seventh day. He gives you a day where there's no obligations. It's a gift. Enjoy it. So once again, the big idea, stop, rest, delight, and contemplate. I know many of you probably have a lot of questions and other things. Like I said, there is going to be a part two next week where I'll address some of those frequently asked questions and some other specifics. But I hope this at least intrigues you a little bit to start looking into what it might look like for you to start implementing this into your life. And by the way, the last 6 months that our family has been doing it, it has been far from perfect. There's been many days where it's just not gone very well or didn't really happen a whole lot. So we're still figuring this out. It takes years to change like this. Imagine the Israelites coming out of Egypt who worked every single day for 400 years, and they had a hard time keeping Sabbath. You know, they got in trouble. If anyone's read the Old Testament, you know, it's like, oh boy. So it's not easy. So give yourself a lot of grace. Give yourself a lot of patience. Worship team coming up. We're going to sing one more song. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we would, as well as the other 10 commandments you've given us, I don't think any of us are real excited to run out of here and murder somebody or lie about somebody or commit adultery or any of that. And Lord, so I just pray that we would, in the same sense, practice Sabbath. Lord, teach us how to do it. Pray that you would give us your grace and mercy in figuring that out and just being obedient to that fourth commandment, Lord, of remembering the Sabbath, keeping it holy. Help us to start making steps in the right direction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.